Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
What's up, everybody? Y'all like my overalls? I like them, too. People have been talking about my overalls, especially my kids, and they're like, why do you keep wearing overalls? I'm like, because I like them. They're comfortable. There's nothing, no hidden agenda. I guess I'm in an overall phase right now. And these are more, I have more than one pair of them, too. It's not just, I got a few pair of overalls. So you never know what you see me out in. You might see me out in overalls. You might see me with sweatpants on. You might see me with a Michael Jordan jersey. But here recently, I like wearing overalls. So walk with me through my overall journey. Well, I'm grateful to be here today. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and we'll get into this. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. God, I just pray that you just move me out the way, God, that the people here don't see me. They see you in me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for everybody in here in this church right now. I pray for their families. I pray that if anybody's going through anything, you touch them right now in the name of Jesus. And these things I pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So check this out. I had a dream, right? Or vision, or I don't know what you want to call it. This is about a month ago. And in this dream, Jesus appeared to me, right? He had his back to me, and it was like a shadow, and he was writing on what looked like a dry erase board. And as he was writing, he wasn't using a marker, but he was using his finger while he was writing on this board. And I couldn't understand what he was writing, but every time he wrote, it hurt. I felt pain every time he wrote on that board. Now, the pain was blocked to a certain extent, okay? And it hurt, but if you could walk with me a little bit, I knew it hurt real bad, but it was like he had my senses of pain blocked, but I knew how bad it hurt. And every time he would write on the board, I'd ask him to stop. I'd say, stop. You know, I was like screaming at him, stop writing on the board. But then when I realized when he was writing on that board and I was telling him to stop, I realized he was using his finger, but he was writing with his own blood. And I was like, oh, man. Now, I couldn't understand what he was writing, but I knew that he was writing my sins down. Show that picture real quick. It's the best thing I could come up with. I couldn't understand what he was writing, but I knew he was writing my sins down. It looked like scribble, but he was writing my sins down with his blood. And then at that point in time, Jesus noticed that I was feeling pain because I was telling him to stop it. I was like, stop. And he was like ignoring me. And I could feel the pain. He noticed that I could feel the pain. And what he told me was, that's not leaving a drop of the pain that I felt when I died for your sins. But here's the kicker. In that moment that he was writing my sins, I felt a love that I couldn't explain in that moment. In that moment, I realized he knows all of my sins that I've committed, and he knows the ones that I'm even going to commit later on. He's writing down my sins that are not so great, and he's writing my sins down that are great sins. He's writing them all down, and he wrote them down, and he knows all about my sins, and he's taking the time, and he's writing these sins down. And as he wrote them down in his blood, I realized that's what it costs for him to wipe my sins clean. And as much as he could have condemned me for my sins and turned his back on my unfaithfulness, he wiped them clean. He was writing them down, but then that's what it took for him to wipe my sins clean. Psalms 103 verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." Verse 10 says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." I'm reminded of his compassion. I'm reminded of his grace. I'm reminded that he doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. Because if he dealt with us according to what our sins deserves, none of us could stand before him. None of us could do anything before him. So in this psalm that David is writing, he's praising the Lord. And David understands, if you read all Psalms 103, it's a psalm of praise, you see that David understands that he's a sinner. He understands that he deserves death, but because of God's grace and compassion, he's holding back his wrath. Josh spoke to us last week about us being the image of God, being in the image of God. So what I got out of that is our Heavenly Father sees something in us that we don't even see in ourselves. A lot of us have kids in here. I got kids, got five of them. And then they might make us mad. And why do they make us mad a lot of times? Because they're not living up to our expectations. But when they mess up, you might get angry for a minute, and the punishment that they need might need to be a great punishment. But because they're made in our image, we hold back the punishment they need because we see something in them that they don't even see in themselves. So we'll be slow to anger, and our punishment will be out of love. So instead of discouraging our children, we're really building them up. When I think about the things that Jesus done for me, when I think about that in that dream or vision, whatever you want to call it, he was writing my sins down in his blood. He could have responded in anger. He could have responded in rage, but he responded in love. So when I see the first verse of Psalm 103, David says, "Praise the Lord, all my soul." That just hit me a little bit different. Sometimes you just got to sit back when I'm listening to the worship. We got to sit back and think about the goodness and the love of God. Sometimes you got to sit back and acknowledge we serve a perfect and sovereign God who owns all of this, who loved us so much that he became flesh just to become slaughtered in the midst of our disobedience, who knows every sin we've committed and knows every sin that we're going to commit. But he still withholds his anger because we're made in his image. And the punishment that we do get is a punishment out of love. And that punishment that we get, that God gives us, is to steer us back in the right direction if we just listen to him, if we just follow his ways. Also, what I love about our sovereign God is the fact that in Lamentations, it teaches us that we get new mercies every day. New mercies, think about that. We get new mercies every day. So let's break this down. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something that we do deserve. And what do we deserve when we sin? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible teaches that we get new mercies every single day. Some of y'all might have went to bed last night and you might be not in a good place. Some of you might have went to bed last night, you might have sinned, you might have felt like you fell short, you might have felt like you didn't live up to the expectations of the living Savior that we have. We don't never live up to all the expectations. But thank God we get new mercies every single day. The kicker to that dream I had this dream about a month ago, and I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and my wife said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I had a dream or a vision or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you want to call it. I had something." And she said, "What was it?" I said, "I can't talk about it. I don't know. I can't talk." Now, my wife is one of them women, like, when she say, "We need to talk about it, we need to talk about it." And I was like, "I can't talk." And I was just like laying on the edge of the bed. I was like, "I can't talk about it. I can't even put it in perspective of what it is." And when I had that dream, and I'm sitting there thinking that Jesus is on this board, and I'm trying to put it all together. I don't know. Sometimes you have those dreams, you just got to sit there and let them marinate a little bit. And I'm really trying to, like, I knew what it was. And I'm like, man, what? Trying to just piece it all together. And when I'm thinking about the fact of what I seen, and he never turned around, and I'm watching him write what I knew was my sins on a board with his finger, and what he was using was his own blood, and I couldn't understand what he was writing, but I knew he was writing my sins down. And what came to my mind was, my sins are so great and so bad that he didn't have enough board space to write them all down. So he's just like, dude, you're messed up. This is what it looks like. Your sins look like this, messed up. And the pain that I'm feeling in the midst of him writing is what it took for him to wipe my sins clean and your sins clean. That's what it took. His blood, his love, his compassion, his grace, his mercy to die, not to just die, but to rise again, all because of his love for us, all because we're made in his image, all because what? He sees something in us that we don't even see in ourselves. So when I'm sitting there and I'm trying to unpack what Jesus is trying to tell me in this moment, it's the fact that he loves me so much that he's took my sins and cast them out as far as the east is from the west. That his love is so great for me that he's sitting back, the sovereign God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all this. And he comes down to meet us, like she said, face to face, because his love and compassion is so great. Can you wrap your mind around that? I can't even wrap my mind around that. I love my kids. I love my mom. I love my dad. I love people in my family, my sister. I can name it. And I can't even wrap my mind around the fact of how much Jesus loves us. And he loves us so much, check this out, that he knows we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to fall short. He knows we're not going to live up to his expectations. But because we're made in his image, he says, I'm going to withhold my anger. I'm going to withhold my rage towards you. I'm going to withhold it a little bit. But I'm going to, when I do punish you, I'm going to steer you in the right direction and build you back up. So instead of what you looking at might be a punishment, instead of what you looking at might, you might be in a storm, you might be getting, what you're getting is a testimony. So in the midst of God's love and he's building us up, he's giving us what we call a testimony. He's giving us something that we can give back to somebody else to stir more people to our Savior. If we just listen, if we just follow his ways, if we just study our scripture. So when I see this psalm that David is writing in Psalm 103, the first thing that he says in verse 1 is, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Verse 2 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Praise the Lord. Now, if you know the story of David, David wasn't perfect. David was a sinner. David had a man killed. Here's the thing about it. David was a warrior, and David is sitting back, and he's writing this psalm, and the first thing that he's saying is praise the Lord. I can imagine David sitting back saying, oh, my God, I've done so much wrong, and I'm still here, and God is still using me. We sit here on this earth right now, and we can think that we mess up one little bitty time. We think that we cannot, that God cannot use us, but God can use each and every one of us in a certain type of way. It doesn't matter how much you fell short. God can still use you. He loved us so much that he came down and he's willing to wipe our sins clean and give us new mercies every day so we can walk out this door and we can do his will. We have no excuse. I want you to think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. A teacher gives us a test, right, when we in school. And God, we hate tests, don't we? Oh, my goodness, we hate tests. At my job, we have to take these classes, and they give us, I'm like, why you got to give us a test? Like, can I just take the class and just move on? When the school teacher gives us a test, right, gives us a pop quiz when we was in school or people that are in school. But when they give us that test, they have an expectation that we're going to pass the test. Why? Because we either studied or we were doing what they asked us to do. So when the test comes out, they expect us to pass it. It's the same thing with our Savior. He gave us these rules. He gave us a way to live. And sometimes there's going to be some tests. And he's saying, I'm expecting you to pass the test because I came down and I wrote your sins down. I wiped them clean. And if you just follow me when the test comes, when the storm comes, I expect you to pass it. We don't pass a lot of our tests because we turn our back on this right here a lot and try to do it our own way. And I think in this psalm right here, I think David is realizing that. He's realizing how many times he's tried to do things on his own. He's realizing how many times he's tried to do it without God. He's thinking about how many times he's messed up. He's thinking about all of these things, and God is still with him, and he's saying, I can still pass the test. Praise the Lord, my soul. Look at verse 3. He said, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases? That's what the first three verses of Psalm 103 is. Praise the Lord who forgives our sin and who does what? Heals all our diseases. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. It keeps going. It gets better. The Bible is awesome, y'all. If you ain't reading your Bible, I challenge you. The last time I spoke up here, I told you I've been going through my Bible from Genesis to Revelations, and I started, and it's funny because I didn't know when I was going to be preaching. When they gave me this date that I'd be preaching, when I started reading, I'm in the book of Psalms right now. Just how it lined up. I'm in the book of Psalms. But it says, verse 3 says, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? He redeems us. He crowns us. Some of us might feel like we in the pit. A lot of times I feel like I'm in the pit. But guess what? I serve a God who does what? Redeems us, redeems me, makes me made new again, wipes my mercies out every day, gives me new mercies every day, and will put a crown on me. He'll do it every day. If that ain't love, I don't know what you want to call it. Some of us don't even want to deal with people if they park in our parking spot or sit in our seat at church. Watch this, though. Listen, this is Bible. This is not the book of AJ. This is the word of God. It's verse 5 said, who satisfies your desires with good things. So look here. Who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, and who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserves or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Here's the best part. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What do you think that means? He ain't hold no grudge against us. He knows we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to fall short. He knows that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy us. But he also gave us ways to get away from the enemy who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy us. It says to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We have all the answers right here. He knows we're going to fall short. He knows we're going to run into some stuff. But he said, even when you fall short, I'm going to give you new mercies and I'm going to forgive your sins as far as the east is from the west. I'm the sovereign God who's going to come down, become flesh. I'm going to write your sins down, wipe your sins clean and forget all about them and still give you a shot to keep going and going and going. I don't care how many times you fall. You fall down 7, you get up 8. Keep moving. That's the word of God. That's not the word of AJ. That's not the word of Aaron. That's the word of God. The word of God teaches us to keep going. So when I think about the time frame that David is even writing this psalm, it's not like he's writing this psalm sitting in four walls in this church with a cup of tea in his hand and some coffee. And everything is just going great. Watch this. It gets better. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Listen, that fear we're talking about is a fear of awe. We follow God because we love him, and we follow his precepts because we understand what the word of God is going to do for us. And he's saying, listen, if you just follow my ways, if you just walk in my footsteps, I'm going to give you new mercies. I'm showing you compassion. I know you're going to slip up. I'm going to be with you regardless. Don't let the enemy get into your head. And it gets into some of our heads, so all of us, including myself. We sin, we fall short, we say things we shouldn't say, we watch some things we shouldn't watch, we do some things that we shouldn't do, and we say, God, how can you use me? God said, how can I not use you? I'm giving you new mercies every day. I use Moses, I use Abraham, I'm using Job. I used all these people in the Bible. I used all these people to paint a picture who were worse off than you were. How can I not use you? You giving me an excuse? I'm God. What are you talking about? I can use anything. And you say, well, where can you use me at? In your own house? Where can you use me at? In your neighborhood? Where can you use me at? In your school? Where can you use me at? On my job? Where can you use me at the grocery store? Can I go on? Where can you use me at in this church? Where can you use me at in a small group? Can I go on? Where can't God use you? Where can you use me at going to feed the homeless? Where can you use me at helping foster children? Where can you use me at giving to the needy? Where can you use me at? Where can't he use you at? Don't let one slip up turn your back thinking that God can't use you. Because if God can use me, I'm messed up. And without Jesus, I'm nothing. And when I had that dream and I seen him writing on that board, I was like, you're taking time out of your busy schedule to come to me in my sleep, or I don't know what I was. Y'all. I don't know if I was asleep. I don't know what it was. If dream, vision, I'm not like this, I don't know, prophet type person. That ain't me. I just know that I had a dream and it was real and Jesus was there. Okay? And the fact when I woke up that he took time to speak to me a month ago, knowing the fact that I'm reading my Bible and I'm going to be in the book of Psalm today to speak to you. You can call that what you want to call it. I call it love. I call it God showing me that he's with me left foot, right foot, wherever I go, even when I slip up, mess up. That God is with me even when I'm out there coaching my son and coaching football and coaching basketball and I look like a plum fool out there, he's still with me. Forgive me if y'all have ever seen me out there that way, because it happens. I'm going to keep going real quick. I forgot what verse I'm on. I think I'm on 18. With those who keep his covenant and remember his precept. Listen, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord for his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, all his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. And the last words that David says in Psalm 103 is, praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. When I think about praising the Lord, this is what I get out of this. When we come to worship, right? When I'm worshiping God, I can lift my hands. God, just thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Lord, you could have took me out a long time ago. I deserve death. I deserve hell. God, thank you. And I meant when I'm worshiping, in my mind I'm worshiping, I'm just, it's me and you, God. I'm just, thank you, Jesus. God, thank you for dying and rising. Worship. But when I think about praise, I think about bragging on God. So when I'm looking at this, it's like David is bragging on God. Praise the Lord. His compassion, he forgives us. Y'all, do y'all not get it? Praise the Lord. He forgives my sins as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord. He shows us grace and compassion. Praise the Lord. I can see him just like he's happy. It said David was so happy that he danced till his clothes fell off. So I'm sitting here. I'm like, David, he's bragging on. Imagine if we walked out, if we came in here and we worshiping, we're filling up. We put our hands like this. God, give me, fill me, fill me. God, thank you. And then I go out and I'm bragging on God. Praise the Lord. Why are you praising? You just don't know how good he is. You just don't know the fact that he became flesh and was slaughtered to death for the sins of me. The sins I know about, the sins I don't know about. And he wrote them down. Think about this. Think about, and I thought about this. God writing down all of my sins. And when he was writing them down in his blood, not with a marker, with his blood, writing my sins down. And I just thought for a minute. I started counting some of my sins that I've done. Just like, I was like, wow, that's some bad stuff that I done. And I'm not talking about just, I'm 42 years old. I'm talking about going way back. I just started like naming some of the stuff that I've done in my life. And I'm like, and you wiped that clean? You said, I forgive you as far as the east is from the west. So go out and do my work. Go out and share your testimony. Go out and praise my name. I can still use you. Listen, when I think about the goodness of God, and I'm reading Psalm 103 and David is praising, it puts a chip on my shoulder. When I realize I get new mercies every day, it puts a chip on my shoulder, ready to go out and do the Lord's work, whatever that may look like in my life or your life. The Lord's work for all of us is different. Sometimes it's just going out praying for people. Sometimes it's just going out and just talking to somebody. Sometimes it's going out and then and coaching a team. Sometimes it's just going out and calling a loved one. Sometimes it's just doing God's work is different for all of us. But if we all do our little bit, the kingdom of God is just going to be so great. If we just all just do our little bit. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking, God can't use me, God can use you. What can't God do? I got somebody from the praise team's going to come up. We're going to get ready to do Selah. I want you to think about this. What can't God do? It doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter if you're broke. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you have great sins, small sins, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, God can still use you. It doesn't matter how you woke, it doesn't matter what you done last night. It doesn't matter what you done yesterday, the day before that. Guess what? He's going to give you new mercies every day. That board that I seen him writing my sins down in his blood, and that same hand that he used, writing my iniquities down, writing my wrong down, let me feel his pain just a little bit. That same hand that was pierced, that same hand that had a nail in it, that same hand that was spit on, that same hand that was beat, that same hand he took, that bloody hand, and he wiped it clean. That bloody hand that he wrote all my sins down, all your sins down, everything that you've messed up, that same bloody hand, he took it and wiped them off. And said, I forgive you as far as the east is from the west. My compassion is as high as the earth is. I forgive you. Now what I want you to do is I want you to forgive somebody else. I want you to forgive yourself. And I want you to just follow me. That's all. Just follow me. Don't let, listen, and the devil's going to come. The enemy's going to come. People going to come in your life. You're going to be trying to talk to somebody. Listen, you're going to try to talk to somebody about, you know, where they're falling short at. And they're going to say, who are you to tell me that you sin? How you going to tell me I need to? It's going to happen. Don't pay it no mind. Because that bloody hand that he showed me. Can you show that picture real quick? That bloody hand. Look at that. That's the best I can put. That's a bloody hand. And that same hand with blood on it, it didn't smear the blood, it wiped it clean. It's gone. Don't let the enemy get in your mind and think that he can't use you. Don't let the enemy get in your mind and say, "What? How can God use me? How can God not use you?" That dream I had, or whatever you want to call it, I had that a month ago. And it's followed me all the way here because I'm looking at, and my mind is just thinking different now. It's like, you mean to tell me that you know all of my sins, everything that I've done, every time I turned my back on you, every time I act like I didn't know you, and you wiped it clean and said, go, I forgive you? If you have an issue with trying to figure out how much Jesus loves you, understand this right here. That bloody hand that wrote all your sins down, that same bloody hand, he wiped the slate clean. He loves you that much. Lord, I just come, I want to tell you thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for just dying for my sins and rising and defeating death just so I can have a chance to choose you. I love you. Thank you, Jesus.